Continue to pray for the family, if you would. And we will make sure you know via email the arrangements and everything. So as I said, let's transition now to what we had planned for the day. Even thinking of Brenda, it's a tough week for that to happen. As most of you know, this Thursday is Thanksgiving. We celebrate the holiday of Thanksgiving. When I think about Thanksgiving, a couple things come to mind. Not all of them what the holiday's about. Food comes to mind, as it does for, I'm sure, many of you. Family comes to mind. Getting together with family, seeing people. I get to see my brothers who I haven't seen in a while, you know, that sort of thing. And then football. So it's food, family, and football. It just sounds like a holiday that I look forward to. You know, just sitting, even teams I don't really even care for. I just like to sit and have a big meal and just celebrate with family and just sit and watch TV. I recognize that for some of you, things like shopping comes to mind. Oh, it's Thanksgiving weekend. That means the weekend afterward. But I also recognize that for some of us, a holiday like Thanksgiving can bring up feelings of loneliness. Feelings that, you know what, my life isn't exactly what I expected for it to be, so what do I have to be thankful for? There can be challenging times. Just as much as it is a time of celebration, it can also be a very challenging time for many of us. It can be an uplifting holiday, or it can be one that just reminds you that your life isn't where you wanted it to be. These next 2 weeks, we're going to look at this idea of Thanksgiving. Not necessarily the holiday, but the idea of thankfulness. Of what does it mean to be thankful? How do we express this attitude? And when we express this to the proper audience, which is God, in prayer, how it can completely change our outlook on life. That if this is the case we're going to try to make in the next 2 weeks, that if we are constantly expressing thanksgiving to God, it's going to change the way that we look at life. So prayer and thanksgiving, putting those two together, how they must go together in our lives, how we must be grateful for who God is and what he's done and express it to him on a regular basis. This week, let's start in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, just a few verses. Most of them that you've probably heard before, but this is just such a good synopsis. Let's read this. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Let's pray. God, as we approach this this passage today, I pray that we would learn from it. I pray that we would learn to be thankful, that we would learn to be people who are grateful. And then that we would be able to express it, God. And as we do that, may we see how it changes our outlook on life. So I pray that first and foremost, we'd be able to be honest about how we look at life right now. Be honest with ourselves, be honest with you, that sometimes it's life is challenging and our attitude is not what it should be. Help us to be honest with ourselves, and then help us to have open ears, open minds, and open hearts that we might hear, understand, and then allow you to change us. That our attitude might be different as we leave this place. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So a few simple phrases here. Always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in everything. Very simple phrases, but really hard to live out, isn't it? I mean, these are very simple commands that were given, but they're so challenging to actually live out in life. Notice that there's three absolutes there. Greg, if you don't mind putting the passage back up. We see always be joyful. I always tell people whenever there's an absolute in Scripture, circle it in your Bible. It says always be joyful. So when should we not be joyful? Never. It says always, always be joyful. But look, Paul follows it with another absolute. Never stop praying. When should we stop praying then? Never. We should always be praying. And then when should we be thankful? In some circumstances? In the good times? No, he says, be thankful in all circumstances. And so these three verses put together are a great summary from what Paul says the Christian life should look like. A life filled with joy and with prayer and with gratitude. And it's an outlook that reflects what Christ has done for us and who we are in Christ. Paul's letters, we commonly call them epistles, are mostly towards the back of the New Testament there. They're the ones with city names attached to them. And so most of them were written to brand new churches, from Romans all the way down to 2 Thessalonians. All of those, the grouping of biblical books in there were written to churches, a lot like ours. And even if you look at these verbs, they're written in plural. They're not just saying you individual, you plural, live like this. So it might have had something to do with their corporate worship, but it certainly had a lot to do with how he was expecting these new churches to go and live. And so what's remarkable is a lot of these seem very relevant to us, don't they? Even though it was 2,000 years ago in these brand new churches, we read these things and like, this still works for me today. This particular letter was to the church in Thessalonica, and it is amazing how relevant this is to us. And like most of his letters, Paul closes his letter to this church with a whole bunch of what we would call imperatives. Do this, don't do this. And so these are commands. They're not like the Ten Commandments. They didn't come down from the mountains. What it is it's interesting. They're commands based on everything that Paul has said earlier in the book. He basically, in the first part of each of his letters, he talks about the mystery of the gospel and what Jesus Christ has done for us and how much God loves us. And then towards the end of each of his letters, he says, therefore, live like this. So all of this is based on what he's already said about who Christ is. So as we look at these, imagine them as a result of Christ, what Christ has done for you. Live like this. Look at these verses again in their context. Let me back up to verse 14. Just in their larger paragraph here. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. So see, he's talking to the whole church here. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good and stay away from every kind of evil. And so see, there we just get a larger context that what Paul is giving us here is what life should look like in Christ. Those of us who are in Jesus Christ, this is what life should look like. These are commands. We even saw that at the end of our focal passage there, at the second part of verse 18. It says, for this is God's will for you who belong in Christ Jesus. And so what I want you to see before we even start to how to always be joyful, never stop praying, and to be thankful in all circumstances, before we even start that, I want you to see that all of this is grounded in who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for us. What I want you to see is that this is not some sort of self-help, willpower, just get her done kind of proposition. It just try to find the energy to always be joyful, to always be praying, to always be thankful. Guys, we cannot do that humanly speaking, can we? That is impossible. The first thing we have to realize is that all of these commands are represented in Christ Jesus. This is not something we can just muster up the willpower to go and do. It has to be grounded, it has to be founded in the relationship with Jesus Christ that we already have. See, what Paul is arguing for here is not, if you do these things, then God will like you more. If you never stop praying, if you're always joyful, if you give thanks in all circumstances, then maybe you got a chance at getting back on his good side. That's not the gospel, is it? The gospel is we are lost and we are sinners and we are hopeless without the solution that God gave us in Jesus. That is the message of the gospel. And so all of this is a result of the gospel. As a result of what God did, as a result of you being in Christ Jesus, you have the ability to always be rejoicing, to never stop praying, to be thankful in all circumstances. It's in Christ Jesus that we make these things happen. It's understanding, continuing to understand what Jesus has done for me and learning to rely on the Holy Spirit in my heart to recreate my mind, my heart, and my actions, becoming the person that God created me to be. That's what this is. So first step, if you are here without a relationship with Jesus Christ today, that is the application for you. Come to Christ. Recognize your need for him. There is no, there's no workaround. Every major world religion other than Christianity is man reaching for God. What we see in Jesus Christ is God reaching down to man. It's God's solution. It's not ours. May you come to a saving knowledge of that today. And if you already have, then back to these focal commands. Let's take these concepts one at a time, thankfulness and prayer and joy, and then we'll put them all back together to kind of see the attitude that Paul is calling us to have. But now I want you to think of each of these three as extensions of Christ working in you. This is not go home and muster up the willpower, okay? This is allowing Christ to live in me and make me into a new creation. And I actually want to step through these backwards, if that's okay. So let's start with the one that's mentioned in verse 18. Paul tells us, be thankful in all circumstances. The first command that we see, be thankful in all circumstances. Let that one sink in for a moment, okay? Just take a deep breath and then hear me say it again. Be thankful in everything. Ooh. Anybody fall short as you examine your own heart? I do. I look at myself, I get a little moody every once in a while, get a little entitled, feel like I deserve more, and I'm certainly not thankful. All circumstances. I can think of at least three circumstances in which we have a great difficulty being thankful. Let's look at these circumstances one at a time. Paul tells us, be thankful in all things. Well, what about difficult or tragic circumstances? What about the challenging things in our life? It could be an illness. It could be a terminal one. It could be financial trouble where you just don't have enough money to make it through the month. And you're like, I just cannot make ends meet. How am I supposed to be thankful in the midst of that? It could be relational difficulty. You and a loved one, or you and a neighbor, or you and an estranged family member just are not getting along, and there's all kinds of tension and stress caused as a result of it. And you say, how am I supposed to be thankful in the midst of that? It's incredibly challenging. It can be so strange to try to feel thankful during these times. It feels like we're trying to fake ourselves, doesn't it? Like, oh, thank you for these difficulties, Lord. No. I want to point out a very nuanced word here, okay? And it's just a small little word, and it doesn't seem like that big a deal, but it does make a difference. Notice what Paul says here to this church. He says, be thankful in all circumstances, not thankful for all circumstances. It's just a tiny little word change, but see how big of a difference it makes? I'm not saying, hey, God, thank you so much for this cancer ravaging my body. That is when we start to feel fake. I'm not thankful for that. I'm not thankful for this illness I've got. I'm not thankful for these financial difficulties that I'm having. I'm not thankful for these relational problems I'm having. How could you possibly tell me to be thankful for them? I'm not, and neither is Paul. Paul is telling us not to be thankful for these things, but what? Be thankful in them. Boy, that just changes my whole mindset. It's a recognition of the bigger picture, to be thankful even in the worst circumstances of life. So be thankful in all circumstances, even in difficulty. Another circumstance that we have trouble, be thankful in all circumstances, Paul says. Well, what about, Paul, when we didn't get what we wanted? You know, should we be thankful in those things when life isn't working out like it should? I'm reminded of when I was a kid at Christmas. Let's just paint a picture here. Let's say 8 or 9, cute little blonde-haired boy with a buzz cut. Opening a gift, gifts at Christmas. And you know how as a kid you remember the shape of boxes that clothes came in? And the feeling of it, you know, like shaking it. There's no Lego sound. It's not that. You're wanting the Star Wars toys, but you get this little rectangle box and you feel it and you're like, I know this is clothes. But mom has coached you. You've got to act thankful. And so you open up and you go, oh, thank you, grandma. Thank you. And you okay, now next, move on to next present. It feels like that sometimes, that we have trouble genuinely being grateful for things that we didn't even really want. When life turns out the way we don't want it to, we have difficulty feeling this gratitude, don't we? I'm going to clue you in as to why. Here's why. You ready? Because we are absolutely positively spoiled. All of us. We are spoiled brats. We have become so conditioned to getting what we want when we want it. Even those of us in here who are less materially fortunate than the rest of us, you still get what you want when you want it a lot. We walk over to a faucet and we want water. We turn it on, water comes out. What happens when it doesn't? Are we thankful? No. We're cursing it. Instead of being thankful for the times that it does come out, we can't understand why we're not getting what we want when we want it. And so these circumstances can be very challenging. We're so materialistic. We're fed by the things in our life. I find it incredibly ironic that the weekend after Thanksgiving has become basically a default consumer holiday. That the days following the day that we stop and we say, God, thank you for all you've given me. I have enough. But now in the next few days, I'm going to go save hundreds on some new stuff. Isn't that kind of ironic that those two are that closely together? But it's a perfect picture of our attitude often. The call here is to be thankful in all circumstances, even when life doesn't happen the way I want it to, even when I don't get the things I want. Paul is still calling us to be thankful in all things. The third circumstance that I can see, after difficulty and when we don't get what we want, Paul is calling us to be thankful even in the ordinary times. These are circumstances that we don't even think about. Isn't it funny that we think of life sometimes as just a bunch of different highlights, as a collection of things? If you look back on your life, you get these snippets. You get births and weddings and deaths and funerals. Those kind of things stick out. Things like the time you got a new job, or the time you lost your job and couldn't make ends meet. Maybe times of great celebration with friends and family. Maybe times of extreme national tragedy. Those are the things we highlight. And when we look back on life, it's kind of like a football game, isn't it? That you watch the 2-minute highlights of a 3-hour game. You just get the exciting things that happened, whether they were good or whether they were bad. But if we're honest, life just isn't that way, is it? Most of the time, we're living in something that isn't a highlight. As you look back on life, most of our time on earth is spent not made up of highlights, but doing the same thing day in and day out. Things like eating breakfast, driving to work, taking out the trash, paying the bills. It's just the mundane things in life. And so the idea, if Paul is calling us to be thankful in all circumstances, it includes not just the extraordinary events of life, but also the very ordinary ones. I mean, consider just the ones I listed. Eating breakfast, thank you, Lord, that I have food. Driving to work, thank you, Lord, for my job, even when I don't like it some days. Thank you that I'm able to go to work. Taking out the trash, thank you that I have a home to take care of. Paying bills, thank you, Lord, for your provision. These basic things that, guys, I think sometimes we just plain overlook because we live life on a highlight reel and we forget that most of life is just in the ordinary. And so may we stop and just praise and thank God in the midst of that. Paul is calling us to always be thankful. Thankful in all circumstances. Difficulty when we don't get what we want, and even in the ordinary. Another command that we see today, moving backwards, back up to verse 17. Not only should we be thankful in all circumstances, but Paul tells us, never stop praying. Never stop praying. Always be praying. A lot of you have a translation, and many of you memorized 1 Thessalonians 5:17 as what? Pray without ceasing. This idea that you have a constant communication, constant conversation with your Creator. So if you are in Christ, if you have come to that relationship and you've been reunited with the Father through Jesus' sacrifice, not through your own work, but because of Christ's grace, then the Holy Spirit is giving you new eyes to see things differently and is changing you from the inside out. Don't you think we should be communicating with our Father? We should be communicating with God. It's an odd idea these days to prayer in general, just in our society. I know a lot of times I think, why didn't God just get a Facebook page so I can just message him and we'll communicate that way. But to communicate in our spirit to our Creator means slowing down and getting quiet. And that can be very challenging in life. And all the busyness and all the hustle and bustle, how can we slow down and be quiet? And we have to make it part of who we are. Too often we have these, and don't hear me wrong here, dedicated prayer times are fantastic. Maybe you have one today that you're going to pray for this week. Maybe you have one each morning where you set aside and you pray about your day. That's fantastic, but here's what we do too often, you guys. We leave it there. We pray, God, bless my week. What is it that you want me to do? I'm listening. Or God, bless my day. What is it you want me to do? I'm listening. I'm your vessel. And then we go do whatever the heck we want. We live however we want to live. We have whatever attitude we want to have. We say the things that just come to mind. That's what Paul is trying to prevent us from. Prayer doesn't stop in the morning, doesn't stop on Sunday. Keep it going, a constant conversation. I don't mean walking around with our eyes closed or driving with our eyes closed. That's that formal idea of prayer. And set aside times of prayer are good. But Paul knows that you still have to go to your job. You still have to eat. You still have to converse with other people. He's not talking about just 24/7, close your eyes, be completely enveloped. He's talking about include God in your entire life, every moment of the day. It reminds me, you guys, some of you guys are going to roll your eyes at this, but this reminds me of an episode of the sitcom The Office. In it, Jim and Pam are kind of a romantic couple. They end up getting married, but they had to be apart where she was working in New York for like 3 months or something. And so they were far apart. In one particular episode, they bought the tiniest little Bluetooth receivers that you could buy and fit them in their ear. And the whole episode, they were just talking to each other. They decided to just keep the phone on all day long. And since they were so used to sitting by each other at work, that now that they were apart, they decided, well, let's just keep the phone on all day long and just talk to each other throughout our day. And as silly as an example of that is, and more of a romantic type idea, but that is a good analogy for what Paul is saying here. It's to never, it's not, hey God, how are you this morning? Yeah, I'm looking forward to my day. Okay, I'll talk to you tomorrow. It's to leave the phone on all day. It's to leave it on and be in constant conversation with your Creator. It really is an amazing thing when you think about it. Paul says, never stop praying. Well, what do we talk about to God? Everything. That's the point. There is nothing too ordinary, nothing too extraordinary, nothing too boring, nothing too exciting. Nothing too holy, nothing too sinful to talk to God the Father about. And to be in constant conversation with him is what Paul is calling us to do. So here you have Thanksgiving. Always be thankful. Be thankful in all circumstances, not necessarily for all things, but in all things be thankful. And never stop praying. I think these two things just seem to go together so well, Thanksgiving and prayer. And it kind of leads us to what I believe when you have these two things going is the first command that Paul started with. Look again at verse 16. So what we've seen is thankful in all circumstances, never stop praying. And then finally, always be joyful. Always be joyful. Let that one sink in a minute too. How can Paul possibly command us to always be joyful? That's ridiculous. How can he expect that? Joy, it just doesn't feel like a conscious choice. Either I feel happy or I don't. It feels like something that's dictated to me by my body, by my brain. Either I'm feeling good or I'm not feeling good. How can Paul tell me as if it's some sort of conscious choice? But here's the thing, guys. Joy is something more. Joy is what so many of us are after, what so many of us crave. It's a happiness and a peace that seems to transcend whatever situation there is. Let me define joy this way. Joy is a happiness that is rooted in eternity. Joy is happiness that is rooted in eternity, from time beginning to the end of time and beyond. Joy is rooted not in the circumstances of the day, not of what might be happening to me right now. Joy is rooted in all of eternity. And so it's not like this temporary feeling of worldly happiness. Comes to mind that we started off today just saying goodbye to Brenda. Is that something anybody's happy about? No, not at all. That woman was a saint. Her attitude throughout this last 6 months as she's dealt with her cancer, it's been phenomenal. Always praising God. Not happy about losing her. But can we be joyful? Yeah. Why? Because joy is a happiness that's rooted in eternity, not the present circumstances. Paul is calling us to always be joyful, no matter what the circumstances may be. Look at James, another early church father. James 1, verse 2 says, "Dear brothers and sisters," we heard this back as we talked about Joseph last series, "when troubles of any kind come your way, freak out and," no, doesn't say that, "consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." And so what we see here is three different elements, three different commands. Always be joyful, never stop praying, and be thankful in all things. All of them are absolute, and so they're all the time. And so these things certainly exist independently because they are independent commands, but it is amazing how often joy and prayer and thanksgiving seem to go together. They seem to be mentioned together in the scriptures. And so if you'll allow me a formula, because you guys know I'm a nerd, the engineer, I would believe, based on how these are situated in scripture, something to the effect of thanksgiving plus prayer equals joy. Thanksgiving and prayer together is what leads us to be able to always be in joy. They go together so often in scripture. Val, next week, will talk about another one of these passages in Philippians 4, where they come together again. And the same idea. But think about it. Think about if you had Thanksgiving without prayer. So you're thankful for the things you have, but you don't feel like expressing it. Well, that's just observation. That's nothing. That's not Thanksgiving. You're just observing that you've got what you need. What about the flip side? Prayer without gratitude, without thankfulness. What do your prayers end up looking like in that case? It's God, give me this. God, give me that. I need this. I need that. As if God's some sort of cosmic Santa Claus or genie in a bottle. I need this, I need that. That's what our prayers turn into. But if you can say, God, I have enough in my life, I'm thankful in all circumstances, and I know you are the one working in my life, and you put those two things together, guess what happens? You've got joy. You've got a different perspective on life. That even in the difficult circumstances, you can say, you know what? I am thankful that God is working in my life, and I'm going to tell him about it because I'm in a constant conversation with him. Thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for being who you are. So here's the challenge today: to change the way you look at life and change your attitude about life. When I say change your attitude, I want to be clear here. So often I think that comes across as, you need to be a better person. You need to be a different person. That's not what I mean. You are who you are. God created you and he loves you. Here's the challenge when I say change. It's to grow up into the person he's created you to be. It's not becoming somebody different. It's being who you have been created to be in Christ Jesus. So being thankful for the circumstances that you're in. Be thankful in them. It's to never stop praying. And it's to always be joyful. Why? Because God created you to be you. You know, often when you hear a sermon like this, it can be this idea of changing your perspective. You know, we typically go, the old adage is a pessimist would see this as half full, an optimist would see it as half, pessimist would see this as half empty, an optimist would see this as half full. We always had a joke in engineering school too, and an engineer would tell you you have twice as much glass as you need, but that's another aside. But back to the different perspectives on life, I'm not challenging you. Move from a pessimist to an optimist. I don't care what you are. Thanksgiving is recognizing that you got water in the glass and you're thankful for it. And you're thankful for who put it there. Doesn't matter how much is in there or your outlook on life and all these other things, your personality type. You're just thankful for God working in your life. And you're saying, God, I want to continue to look at life like this. Walk throughout my day at my job and my home and my neighborhood and my church with gratitude for who you are and what you have done. It's a recognition that no matter what happens in life, I am grateful for what I've been given. I'm not focused on what I don't have or what could have been or what I wish was the case. I recognize who God is and what he has done in my life. And furthermore, I am going to regularly and intentionally express it to God that I am thankful for what he has given and what he has done. God, I am thankful to you for what you have done in my life. May we walk with that, because that's what Paul's saying, right? Never stop praying, always be thankful. You put those two together, always be joyful. That's the call that Paul has for us. Could be a number of different challenges for you today. Basically, I guess we go back to the traditional question at Thanksgiving. What is it that you have to be thankful for? Even in the midst of difficult times, ordinary times, how can we be thankful? As you think about this, watch this video.
. 2016, the year is almost over, and what a year it's been. We watched the world gather at the Olympics in Rio. We witnessed Super Bowl 50 in San Francisco, and we celebrated as the Cubs finally won the World Series. And if we're honest, we'd also admit that 2016 has been far more difficult and challenging than we ever thought it would be. 2016 saw Hurricane Matthew hit the East Coast with savage force. ISIS continued its terror in Paris and Brussels and in countless other locations. A sniper took the lives of five policemen in Dallas. And the presidential election only proved just how divided and fragmented our country really is. 2016 really has been a difficult year. And then Thanksgiving appears out of the blue. And it's hard to find things to be thankful for. Unless we see with new eyes. New eyes that frame the burst of a morning sunrise, reminding us that God is always offering us a fresh start. New eyes that refocus on those meaningful times experienced with close friends and how our hearts are always filled afterward. We might see that family member who brings warmth to a cold day, or that retriever that still thinks she's a lap dog. No matter what's happening outside of us, God is always doing something on the inside. And Thanksgiving is that holiday that invites us to see the hand of God and then to express gratitude for what he's offering. Because every ordinary moment is filled with the extraordinary. We just need eyes to see. And maybe, just maybe, we'll begin to see God most clearly when we thank him most often.
As we move to a time of response, what is your response today? as a result of what we've heard from Paul writing a church from 2,000 years ago that yet seemed very relevant to us today. What is your response? Well, if you're here without Christ, I again reemphasize that may that be your response today, that you may recognize that and say, I need Jesus in my life. And so if that's you, I invite you to come forward while we're singing these couple verses of this song. We just want to talk to you quietly up here. We're not going to point you out or anything like that. If that's too much, I ask you to pull the card out from in front of you and just let us know that you accepted Christ today. And we'll begin praying for you. And if you ever need follow-up, let us know. For those of you that have made that decision maybe even decades ago, when's the last time you really talked to God about how thankful you are? In fact, that's what I want to challenge you to do today. Even as we're singing, I want to challenge you to pray. For some of you, this will be the first time you've really prayed in a long time, if we're honest. But to just whisper a prayer, it doesn't have to be something that everybody else can hear. But just as we're singing or as I'm closing in prayer in a minute, if you just whisper a prayer to God, loud enough that you can hear it, but not that everybody else can. For the things you're thankful for what he's done in your life, regardless of the circumstances that are going on right now, God, I thank you in all things. Because too often we feel it, we just don't express it. And sometimes when we do pray, we never express our thanks. And so may we put those two things together today and beyond so that we can live life in true joy, a happiness that is rooted in eternity instead of our circumstances. So that's my challenge to you today, is to just whisper a prayer to God and say, thank you. It's been a challenging year, God, but thank you. Thank you for always being there for me. Thank you for getting me through it. And that you wouldn't stop that habit today, that you'd continue praying at lunch and at dinner and at nighttime and all this week at work, just to have that constant conversation with God the Father. Let's stand and respond.